Open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. It's just only five verses, and it is a great song. It's part of the poetry, literature of the Bible, and the 100th Psalm has actually been called the Thanksgiving Psalm. And so we're going to look at that and see some lessons here about how to give thanks in the first four verses, and then we're going to look in the fifth verse and find out why. So pretty simple. 100th Psalm. Some of you may even have it memorized. There's several passages in here that have been turned into songs, and we sing them every now and then. Verse 1, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Just a couple things here about some principles about giving thanks. He mentions in verse 1 that it's to all the lands. Giving thanks is for everyone. Everyone. Not just Americans once a year, not just to people who have good things happening to them, not just to a select few, even to just to Christians, but it's for everybody. And you know, statistics show that if you have a heart of gratitude, if you not only are grateful and you express gratefulness, you live a better life. Things, you're healthier. It's amazing just saying thank you to somebody, what it does for you. Yes, it helps them out, but how it makes you feel. Thankfulness is a good attitude. It involves singing. It involves happy singing, it says here. Come before his presence with singing. Gladness. Part of what I found out is, have you noticed when you're in a happy mood, you sing, you whistle, you hum? Have you noticed sometimes when you're in a bad mood and you turn the radio on, it kind of begins to flip you to a better mood? There's something about singing. There's something about that. And so it's good to sing to the Lord. It's good to sing and thank him in that. Now, some of us don't have as good of voices as others, but I'm glad it says make a joyful noise, because for some of us, that's about what our singing is. You know, it's noise. And here's what I've discovered. The people that are good at singing, a lot of times sit near the front of the church. The people that aren't as good sit in the back of the church. That's not always, okay? But then what happens is when you're in the back and you're singing, we all can hear that. So if you're not a very good singer, come to the front, okay? That way very few people will hear you. No, I'm just kidding. Because we have good singers all over, and we have some that are not so good all over, okay? Don't point at anybody. But singing. It involves singing. It's directed to God. Here's the deal. We are dispositioned by nature, fallen nature, but by nature, to think of ourselves, to think of me. We are self-conscious. When you see a picture, you look at your face first to see if you were smiling the right way and if your hair was okay that day. If you have any hair. And so we naturally think about what is in this for me. But thankfulness is not designed for us. It's designed for the person that we're thanking. The reason why you thank somebody is because of what they did. And so our thankfulness is to God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. We're his people. He's not necessarily our God, although he is our God. We belong to him. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. So the reason why we should be thankful is not for what we can get out of it, but just because God is worthy. My grandfather and my mom's favorite song we sang today, Holy, Holy, Holy. Lord God Almighty, to focus and think about God, just to be thankful and allow that thankfulness to focus on Him. You see, when we're ungrateful and when we're critical and when we're complaining, it reflects negatively against God. But when we're grateful and we're thankful for what we have, it really lifts up God, and it says it blesses God. How can we bless God when He's got everything? By our thankfulness. And then it is a correct response to get close to God. Look at what it says in verse 4. When we begin to be thankful, we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving. It helps us to get close to Him. Close, not just, you know, physically, okay? You know, you come into church and say, you know, I feel like I'm close to God in church. It's not a physical presence, because we know that sometimes you can be close to somebody physically, but you can be miles apart emotionally, can't you? You can be living in the same house with somebody, and you might as well be living across the street on certain days. Well, what happens is, as you begin to thank God, you begin to get closer and closer and closer to Him. And that's His way of getting you to be closer. When we pray, one of the easiest things to pray for is what we're thankful for. I just say this, just open up your eyes and look around us and see what we have. Reflect. Thank God for the technology that we have. Thank God for the lights that we have. Thank God for the heat that we have. Thank God for the comfortable, cushiony seats that we have. Thank God for my family. Thank God that I didn't wake up this morning and I didn't have anything to eat at all. I had a good breakfast if I wanted breakfast. I'm going to have a pretty good lunch. I don't have everything I want, but I really have everything I need. I just need to be thankful for that. And that helps us get close to God. Now, the fifth verse is one I want to kind of center on just a little bit, because that really focuses on God. And this says why. He says the reason why we should give thanks, the reason why we should bless His name, the reason why we should be involved in this is for God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So why should we be thankful? First of all, he says, be thankful because God is good. He is a good God. That means He always does what is right. He always does that which is ultimately beneficial to us. Jason, I appreciated that testimony because it was in reverse. Because God sometimes shows His goodness not by what I think are the good things that happened to me, but by at the time they seem like bad things that happened to me, that God flips it in my life and it turns out good. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. On Facebook, they have that 10-year thing right now. If you're on Facebook, you know you're supposed to show your picture last 10 years and what it looks like now. And some people, you can't even tell who it is. Some people, they look exactly alike. But, you know, some of us would not want to trade places with us 10 years ago because of where we were at, what we were doing, and what was happening to us. We were going through some really rough time. But sometimes when we look back on that, we say, but you know what? God flipped that for me, and now things are really going good, and God is still good. Things can be bad, but God is still good. And here's a little problem that we have. If God is so good, why does He let bad things happen in our life? Why is there evil in the first place? Why didn't God just make everything good and leave it that way? That would have been fine, wouldn't it? Because if God would have orchestrated this creation so that there was no opportunity for evil, we'd have been robots. We'd have been forced, in a sense, by our nature, to always do what was right and always do what was good. But because God wants people to love Him as a free choice, God gave people a free choice. God gave us a choice to do right or to do wrong, to do good or to do evil. And Lucifer, one of His top angels, chose to do wrong. Adam, he chose to do wrong. Evil, or not evil, Eve, wow, that'll preach. Eve chose to do evil, and let's just face it, you know, there is a sinful nature that we all have, but you know what, I don't find anywhere in Scripture that we are condemned for our evil nature. We still choose to do evil. Do you realize that? You know, I can blame Adam. Say, Adam, why did you do that? Eve, why did you do that? Greg, why did you do that? You know what? God gives me a choice. And I have a choice of how I'm going to behave and what I'm going to do. That doesn't change the fact that God is always good. And here's the deal. Even when I do wrong, God still shows how good he is by being merciful. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad God is a merciful, forgiving God? Because of all the things we do that are wrong. We do. We do things out of selfishness. We do things out of habit. And even if we don't do things, we sure think a lot of bad things. We do black sins, you know, really bad sins that everybody would condemn. And then there's the, you know, white sins that aren't so bad that everybody does it, you know, and we don't think it's that bad. We think, we say, and God is a complete merciful God that loves us. He will forgive anything. That's not the way we treat other people. Have you ever noticed how society treats people? We condemn them and justify us. Everybody else's sins are more sinful than my sins. I can rationalize why I did that. And so I want them condemned and me okay. It's all over social media. People criticizing and doing this. And kind of like the whole thing, Jesus talked about that. As they try to pull the speck out of a brother's eye while they have a beam sticking out in their own eye. Whether or not we have a speck or a beam, whether it's a big sin or not a little sin, whether it's your sin or my sin, God does not care. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is so merciful, he says, I don't care what you do. I don't know anybody that is willing to do that. I don't know anybody that is willing to look at anybody else and say, I don't care what you do. All you have to do is confess it to me, and I'll let it go, and I won't hold you accountable. God did. If we're willing to come to him, he will forgive us of all we do, whatever we've done. And it says that God is true. He is true. He is truth. His truth endures to all generations. He never tells a lie. He always tells the absolute truth. Is anybody a little sick and tired of what's been going on in our country? And I don't care who you listen to. They're all just nya 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 nya. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know who to believe. I don't know what reporters to believe. I don't know what individuals to believe. Who's telling the truth? If anybody. You know, and here's the deal. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that's just, you know, that's your truth. This is my truth. No. I just want somebody to stand up and tell the absolute truth no matter where it falls. And that's what we all want in other people. We want other people to tell us the truth, but we're not willing sometimes to tell the truth. But God always tells the truth. He tells us what is true and what is right, even if it hurts us, even if we're happy with the truth or we're sad with the truth. God is truth, and he is faithful. He is faithful. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. It never goes. God is always faithful. He is consistent. He does not change. You can count on him. When the world is swirling around like this, have you ever been on one of those merry-go-rounds and they spin you way too fast and you're about ready to throw up because you can't, you know, and then what you have to do is you have to hang on to a tree that's not moving until your head quits, you know, spinning around. That's what I love to do with my grandkids. Have you ever done this? You get in the living room and you spin them around a couple, three, four times. And then you say, okay, walk to granny. You know? No drunk is any funnier than a little three-year-old kid if they've been spun around a couple, three, or four times. You know? And so pretty soon what they have to do is they have to stop and hang on to something that's not moving until they can get it back again. Well, what doesn't move in our world? What's not changing? Isn't the world changing like a crazy man? I don't know. It's changing like crazy. Things going up and down and up and down, and people are changing. People are changing. We can't trust people. You can trust God. These are the things that we can just stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that you are merciful. Thank you that you are true and you are faithful. And here's the deal. Those of us who have realized who God is and what he has done, many of us have trusted Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior, because we just don't want to know that there's a great God out there. We want God to be a part of our life, and we want to be a part of his life. And God has offered his relationship to anybody who would trust Jesus as their personal Savior. Whoever would turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior would have their sins forgiven, would have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and it would be forever. God is faithful. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can actually receive him even today. But here's the application I want to make today. My favorite story in the Bible about thanksgiving and about being thankful is actually in the life of Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he was on his way, so he had his mind on what was happening. And when he looked out, he saw 10 guys that were kind of far away, and they were very sick. They had leprosy. And they cried out to Jesus for him to heal them. And Jesus said, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest, and you'll be healed. And so they all took off to the priest because Jesus told them to. And they took off, and as they were going, the Bible says they got healed immediately. And they all got excited, except one of them turned around and came back to Jesus, got on his hands and his knees, and the Bible says he worshiped him and he thanked him. And Jesus said, hey, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where's the 9? There's only one that's here, and he has come to give thanks. And Jesus looked at him and he says, your faith has made you whole. In other words, 10 of them were cleansed. I'm sure 10 of them were grateful for what Jesus had done. I'm sure they were saying, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But one of them moved from where they were and came to Jesus and just simply said, thank you. It's not enough to feel grateful. We got to say it. We got to say thank you. So here's what we're going to do today. All I want you to do, we're going to bow our heads in prayer. And if there is something you say, you know what, I need to thank God for this specific area of my life. It could have been something that happened years ago. It could have been something that happened this morning. It could have been something that God just popped it in your mind right now. I just want you to come to the front, to move from where you're at, and just come and just have a little prayer. If you want to kneel, if you want to sit, if you just want to stand, and just say a little prayer and then go back to your seat. That's all I want you to do. I'm going to be here in the front, and if you have a question or you made a decision this week for Jesus and you want to tell somebody about it, and that's a good thing, I'm going to be here so that you have somebody to talk to or somebody to pray with. But regardless of that, if you're here, whether you're in the gym or whether you're here in the church, I just want you, if you want to, I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to feel bad because we're going to have our heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody's going to know who's going. But if there's something you say, you know what? Yeah, God has been really good to me. And I'm not going to just sit here. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to thank him for it. If there's no room, that's okay. Just go wherever you're at. So let's bow our heads real quick. Being thankful. God is so good to us. We get caught up in society looking at what we don't have and how it could be better and what somebody else has that we don't have. But, you know, if we just stepped back and looked at what we have a lot to be thankful for. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God loves you and he wants to save your soul. And if you will turn to Jesus and receive him as your Savior, he will forgive you of all your sin and save your soul. And you can do that today. As we have people come to just thank God for it, you can come and I'll be here and talk to me. Say, you know what? I need to receive Jesus today. So regardless of where you're at in your spiritual life, you have a lot to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the psalm that tells us why we should be thankful. Because you're good. You're really good to us. You are merciful. When we're not good, you're better. You're true, always telling the truth, and you're faithful. Thank you. I pray, Father, as people come, I pray, Father, that you would help us just to be thankful for what you've done in our life, to show our gratitude, not just to be grateful. And whatever it is, Father, we'll give you the thanks for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.